have a constituency that I'm trying to keep healthy and I can't get them to take a COVID vaccine because of misinformation that's propagated on the internet.
Well, that was Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton during that special misinformation panel hosted by Brian Stelter at the World Economic Forum we talked about in the last segment. The Democrat took to the stage at the WEF summit in Davos to complain about how people aren't getting the latest COVID booster because of quote-unquote internet disinformation. Now, he called this a public health issue. Moulton is right. There is a lot of disinformation out there, especially right on the CDC's website, primarily that the coronavirus vaccine we'll use loosely, is safe and effective. The real public health issue is the massive amount of vaccine-injured people suffering, especially from heart problems, but a valuable tool could save lives. Defibrillators, or AEDs, are medical devices that can save someone's life by stabilizing their heart once they go into cardiac arrest. The NIH estimated that bystanders were able to save 1,700 lives by using defibrillators in 2017. But again, that was 2017, before COVID shots came into the picture. A new report called Global External Defibrillator Market Size Projection predicts that the defibrillator market will grow by 7.8% each year from 2023 to 2030. Now, if you're wondering why defibrillators are expected to be so popular over the next 8 years, let's talk about the elephant in the room: the massive increase in heart attacks for young vaccinated people. Now, recently I interviewed a brave Army National Guard woman named Carolina Stancic. She went from being able to run 10 miles at a time to having a heart attack at just 21 years old. Her opinions are her own and do not represent the military, she was sure to say, or the Department of Defense.
I've had 17 doctors that I've seen within the ER Wow. or specialists that have attributed it to the vaccine. None of them have written it down on paper or documented it. I've had civilian doctors through the Army talk to me about it. They've sat there and said that the safety was not, they weren't sure of the safety. Then I finally saw a cardiologist down in Florida, and that cardiologist finally in my report, she had written up that I was probably injured by the vaccine. That was in written form. And then not until a couple months later when I asked her if we could talk about the effects and how to go about the effects of the vaccine that have affected obviously my heart, my lungs, and neurological issues now, she had said she didn't want any interest, or she had no interest in helping or researching.
Now, once again, Florida is leading the fight against the COVID cartel. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced that there will be legislative proposals to create permanent legal protections against COVID-19 vaccine and mask mandates. He also called out the bivalent boosters' ineffectiveness.
You should never be discriminated against based on your mRNA status at all in any way. You shouldn't be, it should not even be an issue. You should also have protections about masks. You should be able to live your life without a mask. And it's like they say, well, some businesses make you do it. It's irrational to be forcing this in any way.
Let's welcome back Dr. Peter McCullough to The Absolute Truth to discuss all this. He's the author of Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. It's available at CourageToFaceCOVID.com. That's at CourageToFaceCOVID.com. Dr. McCullough, welcome back. It's good to see you. I think it's concerning when you see this projection on the need for defibrillators by 2030. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, rates of coronary heart disease and revascularization have gone down. In fact, we've done better with preserving myocardial function. We've done better in lowering cholesterol, blood pressure, all the risk factors for heart disease. The only thing that could make defibrillator use go up is widespread mass vaccination. Our FDA agrees that the vaccines cause heart damage, and the heart damage in a proportion of people can leave a scar, and that scar then is the nidus for a fatal arrhythmia, ventricular tachycardia, ventricular fibrillation. And in our cardiology guidelines, we cannot let individuals who have myocarditis, whether they feel it or not, exercise, because it's during exercise that it precipitates a cardiac arrest. And I think that's explanatory for the explosion of cardiac arrests that we've seen worldwide. I've recently had a more focused update on the data with Dr. Panagis Polycritis from Italy. And we looked at a period of time in Europe before the vaccines where the rate of cardiac arrests were 29 per year under age 35 active players. Now we've restricted in the post-vaccine era, same group under age 35 active players, there's been a tenfold annualized increase in cardiac arrests among athletes. About two-thirds are fatal.
So it feels like it's sort of this circular problem then. If there people who took the vaccine, particularly athletes, are at risk from activity, yet what you would normally do to help your heart is, you know, get adequate cardiovascular activity, workout, maintain your weight. So what are these people supposed to do to take care of themselves now if they've taken the vaccine?
Two important points. If people have taken a vaccine, we know worldwide it's about two-thirds of people have taken a vaccine. The first two points are the toxicity appears to be cumulative. So the first point is don't take any more vaccines because each vaccine loads the body with the dangerous and damaging spike protein. And then the second point is be vigilant with respect to symptoms. We believe that lots of people have subtle symptoms and they potentially are not going for an evaluation. For the athletes, though, because this is high risk, the Big Ten Athletic League in 2020, the U.S. military, so many organizations had myocarditis screening programs. They were looking for myocarditis with COVID, and they didn't find much. You know, a really good program for the Big Ten was published in JAMA by Daniels and colleagues. I think these myocarditis screening programs should be redeployed now for college and professional athletes, selective high school athletes. We ought to have the same protections that we had in place for COVID. There was a worry about COVID, but it turns out that wasn't much of a risk. We should have those protections in place now for the vaccines, where our FDA clearly says that we've got risks on our hands.
And speaking of adjusting to the effects of the vaccine, Steve Kirsch broke news on his Substack that the FAA quietly readjusted the parameters for EKG tests for their pilots without Americans really noticing. How concerning is this to you, Doctor?
The FAA has had these criteria for a long time. I anticipate one of the motives for doing this is they were finding more people with a PR interval greater than 200 milliseconds, and that can be due to calcium channel blockers, beta blockers, older age. It's not a predictor of sudden death. It can be in the progression towards heart block. So I anticipate this move may not have necessarily been COVID related, but the FAA should come out and clearly explain why this is the case in order to try to, you know, reduce any anxieties. The pilots are very concerned about the data on cardiac arrests and blood clots. And it was, you know, there's been a pilot who died of a cardiac arrest on a plane that took off from O'Hare Airport. There's another pilot who had a cardiac arrest in the jetway in DFW Airport. He was resuscitated. So pilots are very concerned with what they're seeing. I think the FAA ought to take on directly the issue of COVID-19 vaccine-induced threats to their health, and have, again, active screening programs and have some health assurances that they haven't been damaged by the vaccines.
So just to clarify, you don't think necessarily that this move by the FAA is a direct result of the mass vaccination of pilots?
Yeah, without knowing any other parameters that they used to decide this, I bet it was based on actuarial changes over time. The pilot workforce's age, the PR interval prolongs, use of beta blockers and calcium channel blockers for a variety of conditions can prolong them. The PR interval is not in this risk continuum for sudden death with COVID-19 vaccines. Now, on my Substack, I've published that the QT interval is. We know that there now are some mutations that people harbor that could put them at risk for sudden death, but those are separate issues.
Yeah, and real quick, I have about 20 seconds, and I do just have to get your thoughts on what we see out of the World Economic Forum this week. There's still a clear push for vaccinations. The Moderna CEO said that they're building manufacturing plants across the globe. I mean, multiple countries to further expand on the mRNA technology. Just your reaction.
mRNA has been a disaster. We should never use genetic injections to try to cause a protein production and then evoke immunity. I'm even concerned about, you know, production of therapeutic or counter-regulatory hormones like relaxin. I think messenger RNA technology is off to a very bad start, and we shouldn't be jumping into more of it.
Thank you, Dr. McCullough. Always good to see you. We'll remind our audience they can go get your book and also follow you on Substack as well.
Thank you.